My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
You're listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 105 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can follow us on X and Blue Sky. Leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast app you're using. And if you're feeling generous, you can donate to the show at voicesofwrestling.com/donate. I'm Gerard back here with Paul. And Paul, I am cramming as we speak, just finishing the NOAH Monday Magic that we're about to review. But a lot happened this weekend, and a lot has been happening. So let's just dive right in, because I don't even know what to think about this company right now.
it's a weird company, for sure.
It is a very weird company. We're talking about NOAH, of course. I don't even know how to describe it. Truly bizarre. Incredibly, I don't know, these undercards are becoming just complete slogs.
Yeah,
for me to get through.
I don't think this is like the lowest. No, like I think not even within like the run of the company, it's not the lowest, but it's definitely one of the weirder ones, because I don't know at least with in the doldrums of late 2023, I was like, okay, this is like leading to like Kaito winning back the title.
Right.
And like, at least it seemed like there was a plan, and I'm not quite like, I guess the plan is to put the title back on Ozawa, and then, but I don't think there's really a plan for anybody else. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, I think. Well, and there's like a decent question of what exactly this is working, because we'll start with Legacy Rise from May 13th. And Paul, this only drew 1,165, and this is the lowest GHC title match in Cork in a couple of years. I think the last time was Go versus Kaito.
Yeah.
Was it Go versus Kenno?
I think it was Go versus Kenno. Yeah.
So that's
I was at that show. It's actually weird that was a really good match. I'm sad that didn't draw that.
But I mean, I think it's fair to say, because some of the other bad Corkins lately haven't had the GHC title matches on top. But I think it's now fair to say that Shane Haste is not a draw.
No, I mean, that's not a surprise, though. Like, I mean, like, here's the thing, like, how much did Noah turn over their fan base, right? Like, who the fuck even still remembers that Shane Haste was a Noah guy 10 years ago? Like, yeah. Of the people that are now going, like, buying tickets for Noah shows, probably not right. that many. Like, if anything, they remember him as this guy that, well, they probably don't remember him from WWE because he didn't do anything.
No.
But then they at least remember him as this guy, well, who also didn't do all that much in New Japan recently.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, it's, I mean, look, the company had its formula that, do you think the Ozawa formula is running out of steam, or do you just think they just need to move him back to the top of the card?
I don't think you can really put this one on Ozawa. I think it's just, you know, I think it's more that they really, really downcycled Kenta after he won the title.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Shane Haste isn't the draw, and the fact that it's like the middle of the week. I think, like, I mean, Kenta literally said as much, like, in his, like, post-match promo, where he's like, yeah, thank you for, like, showing up here, like, for the ones that did show up in, like, yeah. the middle of the week, basically.
Sure. So we start with opening match, where you say defeating Hiroto Tsuruya in 6:31 with the crab hold. I mean, you know, a perfectly fine opener. I mean, the young guys are sort of, to me, well, we'll get about it, because there was stuff on the show that I did like. I don't want to be a complete shitter on this company. Maybe it's just not the most dynamic company, but I do enjoy the young guys, even though, I don't know, I'm really high on Tsuruya, and Ryusei is, I don't know, I'm not completely impressed, needless to say, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Manabu Soya and Yuki Ino defeated Aiden and Shuji Kondo in 407 with the Jometsu is from Soya on Kondo. Again, really short, obviously just trying to establish Soya and Ino as a big team type thing. And then we have a three-way match. Kaito Kiyomiya, Haru Toki, and Yudo Koranagi defeated Tetsuya Endo, Hayata, and Katsumi Inahata. And then Kid Lykos 2 and Midoriya Takahashi in 7:38 with the Fisherman Suplex hold from Kiyomiya on Takahashi. These six-man three-ways are just a complete waste.
Yeah, I don't get why they're doing them. They don't really work.
Well, yeah, it's like, if you have too many guys on your roster, maybe you should either get some to retire or stop booking some of these freelancers.
Yeah. Well, it's like, because I think, like, there was a while where the company was actually, like, I think one of the secret, like, really good things about Noah were, like excellent, like, six-man tag matches, and now they're just doing these instead, and they don't get as much time, and they're not nearly as good.
Yeah. Tetsuya Naito and Bushi defeated Mosuke and Black Mensa Ray in 6:22 with the fable from Bushi on Mensa Ray. This was nothing.
No, this was waste of everybody's time.
And then Masa Kitamiya, Takashi Sugiura, Tadasuke, and Kai Fujimori, and Jun Masaoka defeated Atsushi Kotoge, Kazuyuki Fujita, Muhammad Yohei, Hiroki, and Daiki Odashima in 6:24 with the cross arm breaker from Tadasuke on Odashima. Again, like, you can't do a 10-man tag in six minutes.
6 minutes, yeah.
For a 10-man tag, that's crazy. So
I think it's time for Team Noah to go.
When I said the undercards are a slog, even though these matches are short, it still feels like a slog. I don't know.
Yeah. Because there's so many people in these matches. That's the problem.
Yeah. And then special tag match. Tiger Mask and Kenno defeated Naomichi Marufuji and Alejandro in 12:12 with the Tiger from Tiger on Alejandro. And this I did enjoy. I mean, this was obviously like a farewell to Noah match from Tiger Mask. And it was a lot of fun seeing Marufuji and Tiger Mask mix it up one more time, because once upon a time they were a big part of the Noah versus New Japan Juniors feud in, like, you know, 02, 03, 04, which if you've never watched, you should go watch. They're incredible matches, especially when Liger shows up in Noah and pisses off all the Noah fans. Is great. So yeah, this was just, I mean, not a, like, a super high end match, but just a lot of fun. And then Alejandro put Kenno in a Tiger Mask that was kind of colored that Alejandro brought out and everything like that.
No, this was really fun. As I said, it was really just there to, like, goodbye. Like, it wasn't there to be, like, an excellent match, which, like, again, this version of Tiger Mask, like, not a bad worker, but definitely a step below like the other Tiger masks, I think it's very fair to say. And definitely hasn't tried really all that hard in, well, years. I still shudder thinking about that, like All Japan title reign.
That was
bad. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, but anyway, yeah. So this was a nice goodbye for him in the promotion, and it was just a feel good moment. And you know what? I will say by his standards, he did actually he did actually try hard.
Yes. And then in the semi-main event, which is arguably sort of the biggest match they have in this company, Ozawa defeated Yoshiki Inamura in 13:31 with a backslide, sort of like with what he beat Naito with. So I think this is becoming a pattern, which I'm not completely enthralled by.
it's a weird decision.
Is his angle too fucked to be doing the real Rebel? Is this what this is about?
I mean, it would be quite early for him to already be in that shape where he can't do his finisher anymore.
Oh, he'll probably whip it out in a main event at like Sumo Hall, but
I mean, maybe. I mean, again, for me, the thing is like, I mean, the real Rebel always was a move that eventually he was going to have to retire, but I thought it would at least, you know, take a couple of years to get to that point and not like, I would have guessed it would have been like more like 15 years and not 3.
Yeah.
But these two, like, it's like they just don't, like, that's the other thing I think about these two is like, they don't have any chemistry.
Well, you know, I thought this was okay until the shenanigans.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
that was the entire match. The match was shenanigans. Like it got to like House of Torture levels of like,
oh yeah,
just non-stop interference. Like I think it was excessive even by the standards of like Team 2000X matches.
Mm-hmm.
Like there wasn't even that much of like a match itself. It was just like, and here comes Yoshitatsu again, and here comes Tadasuke again, and just on and on it went. And they didn't really have like an actual match in between them, which was also the problem that they had, like at the Budokan, where they also didn't really have like a real match. They just had like weird, like not really well connected spots essentially, and they weren't even exciting spots.
I felt Budokan felt more egregious because of how long it was. One also Budokan main event.
and I mean that one also like I mean at least in that one I had the feeling that they were kind of like trying to make Ozawa seem less exciting to like put over Inamura, which I don't even think they were trying to do that here. I think it was just a bad match really.
The most strange part of this booking is I don't know where this is going because Ozawa's not the next challenger. Spoiler.
Yeah. Right. That's and also the other thing was like the way that match was going with like Ozawa constantly cheating and everything. I was actually thinking, oh, maybe he's not actually winning the match, and then he needs like a little bit longer to actually like challenge for the belt again. But then he won, and I was like, okay, so he's challenging, and then he also didn't do that. So yeah, again, like the story makes less sense with Ozawa winning. Like if he's not the next challenger, like. It would have been, with the amount of cheating he was doing, it would have been fine if he just didn't win. If it just backfires on him eventually and he just loses and has to, like, figure out how to actually, like, beat Inamura. Like, Inamura actually becomes this guy that he has to, like, learn how to beat. But, yeah, I don't know. Weird match.
Yeah. And then in the main event for the GHC Heavyweight Championship, Shane Hayes defeated Kenta in 28:39 with the Bomb Valley Death to make his first defense of the title. And as much as I just shat on Shane Hayes for being a brawl, I actually really like this match.
No. The match was great.
The match was great. Kenta wanted to make this guy look good, and he took some big bumps. Like when he flew into the chairs. Like,
yeah.
So get him up. He was going to do like a running high kick to Hayes to knock him over the barricade. Then Hayes just grabs him and throws him over the barricade into the chairs in the front row of Corkin, which rocked. Right. And it was just hard hitting, you know, good, solid work. Like Shane Hayes is a pretty darn good wrestler, I have to say. And he sort of gets the Noah main event style in a way that, say, Ozawa hasn't necessarily demonstrated.
No. I think not to like go back to Ozawa just for quick, just to like I don't want to know like go too long on Ozawa, but I feel like at this point being in Team 2000X is like actively hurting his development.
Yes, for sure,
because he just doesn't get to like learn anything or like basically overcome his like I think he's almost like regressed as a worker because he just doesn't really have to work because he can just rely on interference. Like it's almost like a literal shoot version of what like a heel wrestler is supposed to be or sometimes is, right? Where it's like, oh, I'm not good enough to win normally, so I'm just gonna cheat. Where it's like, oh, I'm not good enough to put together a regular structure, so I'm just gonna have a bunch of cheating in my matches.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And then, so, you know, after the match, Kenta cut a promo, and then Tetsuya Endo is now going to be the next challenger, which certainly a choice, I suppose.
Yeah.
He's got, like, much like Inamura went through everyone in Team 2000X, now Shane Hayes is going through everyone in White Raven Squad, which is his own unit.
Yeah, that's again, I guess that would make sense if it wasn't his own unit. But given that it is his own unit, it's just a weird
This isn't Nozawa booking this. It's someone is almost, it's worse than him possibly, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's him anymore.
But it's also worse.
Yeah, yeah. I can't believe I'm saying that I miss Nozawa booking.
Yeah, it's funny about that. So we'll get to that after we go to the next couple shows. So after that, they had a show 4 days later in Nagoya, Lives Nagoya, in front of 360 fans, which, you know, I don't know, they didn't call it a no vacancy, so whatever. There wasn't any, again, this is another slog of an undercard. Paul, was there even anything on this undercard of any interest to you?
Not really, to be honest. No. Like, it's just, it was just,
there's another Ryusei,
all the matches that were there. Yeah.
Tsuruya match that Ryusei again won, and they have a three-match series. So, I mean, is Tsuruya going to finally get his win over Ryusei in the third match? I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. It's a bit of a weird, I mean, over Ryusei is just going to sweep it, I guess. I don't know, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe more like one more like general thing about the show itself. They turned those lights down real hard. It was hard to like see, like it was, like you could really only see people when they were like working in the middle of the ring. If they were going to corners, it was so hard to see anything.
Yes, it was. I don't even know what's going on. Yeah, this takes us back to like 2023, Noah.
Yeah, well, but like at those times, they were like turning down the house lights because they ran giant buildings with nobody.
And no one was coming to see Jake Lee.
Yeah, so like that made, oh god, do you remember that shot when like Kento came out and they just actually had to turn on the lights because Kento came out and we just saw that there was nobody in the front row?
Yeah.
No, but like this wasn't like that, right? Like there were clearly people there. It's just they just turned off the lights for no reason.
Yeah, for sure. There was Ada defeating Alejandro with a cradle. I mean, it was fine. That was the most sort of interesting thing on the undercard. Now, the business match of the card, the top two matches, we had Shuji Kondo's 25th anniversary match, which was Kenno, Manabu Soya, and Shuji Kondo defeating Kaito Kiyomiya, Yoshiki Inamura, and Deki Odashima in 12:20 with the King Kong Lariat from Kong 1 Odashima. That was a good match, obviously, as you would expect with all of those guys. And then in the main event, we had Naomichi Marufuji defeating Tadasuke in 16:02 with the perfect neck block. And honestly, I like this match.
This was surprisingly good. I mean, Tadasuke also wrestled it a lot cleaner than I expected him to.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was one of the big things that stuck up to me. I thought Marufuji was getting a little sloppy towards the end. But other than that, yeah, it was a pretty good match, honestly.
Yeah. Again, the Marufuji renaissance is real.
Yeah. The Marufuji-sance, yeah.
He might be my favorite guy in the company right now, which I would have believed 20 years ago, but like 2026 is surprising.
Yeah. And in another like retro match, the next national title match will be like your 2005 special of like Marufuji versus Kondo.
I mean, I'm into it. I mean,
yeah,
so, I was actually surprised they did it. I actually expect, like, I was like, oh yeah, great, Kondo got the win here. It's his anniversary match, makes sense. But I did not expect that to lead to a title challenge.
Yes, And then, so on the 25th of June at Cork and Hall, and I can't remember, is this before or after the tag league, I think, because we talked about the tag league on Lack. But I don't know. Anyway, there aren't any tag league matches announced on the show, but it's Mar Fuji versus Kondo versus Shane Hayes versus Tetsuya Endo. Now, my question is, what's Endo's chances of winning? Because it sort of feels like they're kind of going on haste for a bit here. Because I'm not sure what the point of bringing him in if they were just going to do a real quickie reign was.
Yeah. I mean, I would have expected him to like lose it. Like I kind of, against Kenta, I could have seen it. Against Ozawa, yeah. I think definitely Endo. What's really the point of putting it on Endo? Like,
well, here's what my thing is. Is there any evidence that Endo is a draw in Noah? I mean, I think he fills out the upper mid card nicely, but I'm not sure he's going to be a draw in Noah.
No, I don't think. I mean, to be fair, he had that real quickie like national title reign.
Well, that's the perfect title for him. If he had like
not the main title. Yeah. So I don't think there's really any point in like switching it to Endo, because he had the whole thing of Endo saying, "Oh, I'm going to stick around to Noah until I like fulfilled my like." Potential or whatever you said. Yeah. But it's like, well, I mean, there wouldn't be no point of him saying that if he then immediately proceeds to like win the title.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think there's any reason in terms of like draw. I don't think there's any reason in terms of like storyline or anything like that. Or even like, again, aside from like not drawing well, the matches have been good. And I think the match against Endo should be good as well. So I think you can keep this title on haste for a little bit longer. Like, I don't want him to hold the title for, like, I don't know, 6 months or whatever. But, like, I think he can keep going. Like, if he keeps working like that, he can definitely keep going.
Yeah.
So he should have been a tag league, but that's a different discussion.
I would not rule out Endo winning just because who knows what the fuck's going on with this booking in this company. But I think haste is going to win. But I would not be, like, shocked and say that this is the biggest shock of all time if Endo won or anything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked, but I'm just like, it wouldn't make any sense. That's the thing.
No.
Like, I'm much shocked by anything Noah can do, but it's just like, yeah.
I think Hayes has this until the end of the N1. Maybe that's when Ozawa gets it back or something.
Maybe.
And plus, but we don't have...
Then why did he beat Inamura?
Exactly.
He holds off that long from him challenging again, unless you have him lose to Shane Hayes.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like you could do whatever you want now because you don't have a Budokan to book to in the new year. Want, but it becomes like you don't have to save your biggest match for January 1st.
A really big match, yeah.
Yeah. So that was the main Noah shows. Very weird. Very just, I don't even know how to describe it. So we move on to Monday Magic, which, well, some people are saying, is this a Noah show? And I say, well, it's on Noah's Wrestle Universe channel.
No, it has its own Wrestle Universe
channel. Oh, does it have its own?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not realize that.
No, yeah, they did that like recently. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's still listed on Noah on Pearl, Love, and Cage Match. So there we go.
And I mean, the majority of people booked on these shows are still Noah people.
Exactly. Like the main eventers especially, right?
So if you exclude Marvelous, that's Women's Pro Wrestling's own Titus Alexander.
Yes. And then so we start off with Great Sakuya defeating Miko Alana in 7:38 with the Moonsault Press. A perfectly good little starter match. I thought Sakuya is more comfortable in the role. And Miko, I think she had some potential as a powerhouse, but she's still a little green. And she's only debuted in 2024, but it was a perfectly fine opener. Any thoughts?
Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, good opener. I mean, Great Sakuya has kind of become like the, or is basically like the mascot of like Monday Magic at this point.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to open the like season with her.
For sure. And then Masato Tanaka and Nakuto Hidaka versus Manabusa and Hikaru Sato. We do a double countout in 10:40. Now, look, this is right up my alley, but just a baffling finish.
Yeah, like I was like really happy about the match. And then especially because, we'll talk about it later. But like this became even more egregious given that this wasn't even the only match on the show that didn't have a finish.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I was like, okay, this is clearly, or this obviously Inosawa booking it, but I briefly thought, it's like, is this actually like, is Hatman booking these matches now?
Yeah, I was going to say, is this Rossi?
Yeah, such Rossi booking on the show.
For sure. And then we had Daikyo Tsushima defeating Jiro Shinbashi in 6:35 with the umbrella attack. So he tried the umbrella attack and then Daiki got him.
Yeah.
I was a comedy match, even though Daikyo Tsushima is like the least comedic wrestler. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but like...
No. I think that worked really well, though, because he just, like, the whole, like, start where, like, Odashima just, like, literally, like, wrestled, like, rings around him and, like, Shinbashi just got completely, like, turned around by that. That was actually quite funny of just, like... Again, I think it works really well if you have somebody like Daiki who's just completely straight-laced and just is like, yeah, I guess this is a comedy match. I don't give a shit. I'm just gonna, like, I'm just gonna try and grapple with you and you see if you can keep up or not. Which he can't.
Yeah. And then we had what I would probably say is the most pointless match of the show. Aiden defeated Shuji Kondo, Hayata, and Kid Lykos 2 in a 4-way in 7:03.
Like, you could have put that on, you could have put that on an undercard of a Noah show. Yeah. I mean, this is a Noah undercard show, like, or undercard match, right? Like, it's too many people, too little time, and yeah.
And so next we have what Takumi Aroha and Senka Akatsuki defeated Mai Sakurai and Yuka Yamazaki in 12:39 when Senka pinned Yamazaki with that sort of like All Japan women's press straight out of the 80s. This is actually quite good, I thought.
Oh yeah, no, I thought this was, I mean, fuck, Iroh and Senka, like these are all like really good like wrestlers as well.
Yes, and Yamazaki is in fact a very good young wrestler. Surely debuted last year, but as much grief as Marigold gets, and you know, most of it's deserved. Mm-hmm. I mean, have turned out a couple of good rookies.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about this when I was on Omakase recently, where I was like, look, Marigold is obviously going through some bad shit right now. Like it's a mess at the moment. But like, if you look at it, like, that some of that their school has been fucking excellent. Like, there's one really, really bad miss, but like the miss was so bad they had to like retire her. But then otherwise, like they have turned out some really good rookies. And like Senka, like she is a marvelous trainee, but she's getting regular bookings. They have that clause like deep into her as well. So I don't like Marigold is pretty bad right now, but I think there is a chance that in like 2-3 years, Marigold could be on fire just based on like the guys that are coming up there right now.
I agree. The trick is just surviving.
That's the problem. Yeah.
We'll see if they can survive for a couple of years, they will be really good, but they just have to do that. So that was a really good match. And then the Magic Rumble, Alejandro defeated Archie Cole by throwing him over the top rope in 22 minutes. And we also had Super Crazy, Alan Angels, Rich Port Ayala, Iker Navarro, Reese Alexios in this match. Rich Port Ayala is, I mean, I think this guy's got something. He's a very green. He looks like a guy that that Noah would, I mean, that WWE would give an NXT contract to, but would probably just flunk out. I think he needs like not to go straight into WWE and work Japan and work indies and everything like that.
I called him a SmackDown versus Raw 2011 CAW.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's got a decent look. He's tall.
No, he has a good look. It's just, he needs to develop something. Like, he obviously has the body down. He just needs to develop like the other parts, basically.
And getting sucked right into the NXT system is not going to be...
Does not do that, no. I don't think he would even make NXT. He would be, like, stuck on, like, Evolve, if that's still a thing. I don't know.
Yeah. But again, like, you know, I think Iker Navarro is progressing. Alan Angels was a real surprise, I suppose. Mm-hmm. He was good in this. Reese Alexios, you know, too. Obviously, they like Archie Cole. We'll get to that more in a moment. But Paul...
Find yourself somebody that loves you as much as Nosawa loves Archie Cole.
But Paul, since you brought up NXT, let's dive into what Oka Sasaki's been doing in NXT.
Not much.
No, but I didn't see this until someone pointed this out. And I can't remember who in the Noah channel in the Voice of Wrestling Discord, but like he's had 4 matches in NXT. Listen to this. Channing Lorenzo defeats Oka Sasaki on February 24th in a dark match before the episode of NXT. Nico Vance, who I don't even know who that is, defeats Oka Sasaki in a dark match before an NXT. On an NXT like Largo Loop show, the Vanity Project, Brad Baylor, Jackson Drake, and Ricky Smokes defeats Eli Knight, Kale Dixon, and Oka Sasaki.
Those sure are real people. I mean, here's the thing. You could make this up completely. I've never heard of any of these people.
And on another Largo Loop show, on the 1st of May, Keanu Carver defeats Oka Sasaki. What is this guy doing? Is he doing training on submissions or something? Like, I don't...
Yeah.
I hope so. Is he training other people to how to do submissions? I hope he is.
Yeah, this seems like a complete waste of everybody's time. Yeah. I really hope this is like the last time they sent anybody there. Like, just compare that to what like Kuga is doing.
Yeah.
It's not that all of the stuff that Kuga is doing is great, because he is about to have like an Atlas title match with like fucking Gene Money. So yeah. That's not great. But then like, for example, in like GWF, right, they put like their secondary title on him, and then he just won their like World Cup gimmick. So bit of a like different like respect in the booking that he's getting compared to like Ultimate Sasaki.
And speaking of NXT, I don't think this happened after we recorded last, but Will Cruz popped up in NXT.
Oh, really? Oh, God.
Yeah. I can't remember what his name is. It's something funny, though. No more Will Cruz and Noah. He's getting a push in NXT right off the bat, though, which is interesting. Oh, Mason Rook.
Jesus Christ, these names are bad.
So, yeah.
That's the other thing. Like, I mean, we were joking about like the like, right, like, I don't know, like I think about 10 years back, we were joking about the NXT name generator.
Yeah.
Like, you just know that they're just AI generating these names now.
Yep.
Like, they basically just like, once they hire new people, they just go and ask like Grok or ChatGPT or Claude or whatever the fuck to like generate me like 10 trademarkable names.
Yeah, for sure.
I really don't get what the fuck he's doing over there. Like, it's what like Olga Sasaki's doing over there. This is just, I really hope he's coming back soon, because this is just, he's not the youngest either, so you can't really like have him fuck around over there for too long. Like, you actually, if you want to do something with him, you need to do it now. Like, similar to what like All Japan did with the Saitos, right? Where yeah, they got a bit of an excursion, but it was really only like a couple of months, and then they were back and immediately got a push.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that worked out. And then in the main event of Monday Magic, Kaito Kiyomiya versus Titus Alexander went to a 20-minute time limit draw, as we were saying, as who's booking this. But honestly, this was very good match, as you would expect from these guys. And now... there's the new Three Musketeers of Monday Magic. And Paul, do you know who the Three Musketeers of Monday Magic are?
Yeah, it's Archie Cole, Kaito Kiyomiya, and Marvelous That's Pro Wrestling's own Titus Alexander.
That is like the platonic ideal of like a Nosawa unit.
Oh, absolutely. Like, this is just like a wet dream for Nosawa. It's like, okay, I'm going to make a fact. Like, it's like quite literally, like, it's like his, like, like TAW safe. It's like, that's a faction he would have made in there, but like, if, like his dream faction, essentially. It's like these three guys specifically. Like, did you see Ozawa like dunking on it immediately?
Yes, I did. He put out a tweet about that. Yeah. So that's Pro Wrestling Noah.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no feeling for the direction of this company. And look, I enjoyed it. It was an easy watch, but the Monday Magics also don't have the spark they used to.
No, because they have like an established roster now, basically. Like, it used to be the thing of like, oh, you don't really know who's going to like come through the curtain next.
Yeah.
Like, that was the draw of the early like Monday Magic shows. But now it's like, I mean, again, I like Kaito Kiyama as Titus Alexander, but like these two have been on basically all of these like Monday Magic shows recently, essentially. Like it's like same with like, yeah, like Archie Cole. It's like, I mean, Archie Cole for all intents and purposes is like a Monday Magic only wrestler.
Yeah.
Like that's like, a thing that exists now.
Wait, is Archie in the Marvelous thing? Or
probably. No. I mean, all of these foreigners that get pop up in Marvelous. Yeah, yeah, he is. He did. Oh, he did work Marvelous.
He's worked one Marvelous.
Yeah.
I don't
Which
know
was at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
But
because he was there for like Monday Magic shows.
Yeah, so but I mean, again, it's not even like he's working in England. Like he had like two matches outside of Japan this year, and they were on the same day.
Yeah. Oh, I see that. Yeah, Brit King Pro Wrestling Reign. I've never heard of this company either.
No.
Yeah. So, well, we'll see if he can make it to the.
Oh my God! Wait a minute. This used to be fucking 4FW.
Oh, what was 4FW?
Wasn't that the nonce promotion?
I don't know. 4FW ended in 2013, according to this, or it changed its name in 2013.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. But I do remember 4FW being like there was something up there. I don't remember what it was though.
Mm. Well,
I'm sure people will tell us.
Yeah. So then we move on to All Japan Pro Wrestling Champion Carnival 2026 at Ibarra Wave Arena Ota.
Yep.
3,055 fans. And Paul, that is the biggest number they've done since the 50th anniversary show.
Yeah.
That is a feather in their cap.
Most likely the biggest like legit number they've done. Like it might be the biggest legit number they've done in the building, right? Like because they had the 2013 show, but that one's like late Muto years and all of those numbers you have to put a big asterisk next to.
Sure.
But I mean, at the very least, it's the biggest one since 2013. And think about how often they've run this building since then.
Yeah. Is this a Goshi Ozaki number? Is this a Yuma Anzai number? What do you think, Paul?
I think Yuma Anzai doing really, really well. I would actually be curious. Like, we're obviously not ever gonna get that data, but I would be curious to see, like, the number of tickets sold compared to, like, episodes of The Bachelor.
Well, someone said his social media followers have noticeably gone up.
So, I don't know. Like, I can see that have, like, an effect. I think people, because I think it was pretty clear that Go was gonna go to the finals, I think that probably had an effect, right? People wanting to see, like, oh, is Go finally gonna, like, basically do the one thing he has not been able to do in his career?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was just a combination of it. I think it was just a combination of people wanted to see Go, and I think also, yeah, people want to see like Yuma Anzai because, yeah, again, he's going to be the future. Like he is the future of the company. Always, like we have all known this, but I think it's even more clear now. Like the fact that he has now managed like crossover into the mainstream, you know, like we just saw this with like Stardom gaining a massive like bump in popularity just based off of Saya like appearing on TV. So
yeah,
hopefully they can keep this up. So we'll see.
This is more mainstream than anything Kento's ever done.
Yeah, yeah.
Also as well, right?
More mainstream than anything the Saitos have ever done. Like, and they've done a bunch of promotional stuff as well.
Yep. That's right. I'm not going to do spoilers, but like Anzai made it to like, he basically got second place in the Bachelorette, right?
Yeah. And again, like, you know, if you have a good looking young guy who appears to be like able to like laugh at himself, that mm-hmm. is going to gain him so many fucking fans.
Yeah.
Like also, specifically female fans as well.
It's good that he didn't win, but came in second. That's like the ideal finish.
Yep.
You don't want him.
Now he's still available.
Exactly. So that is so perfect for them. That's good. But now onto the show because, oh my God. okay. Before we start, where would you rank one night performances go in one night performances in multiple matches on the show?
Ooh, that's a really good one because he had two bangers. Right?
Up like,
yeah.
Sasuke and Wild Pegasus collar tug in the Super Takeout 94. You know, something like that.
Probably maybe also a guy in like a bola or a 16 carat, probably also.
It's not the most matches. Like, obviously, Sasuke and Benoit wrestled more matches that night. But just in terms of like overall story, I mean, Go was incredible on
the show. Yeah. No, yeah, Go was amazing. He was like, I mean, I think it's pretty clearly the MVP of the promotion so far this year.
Absolutely. So we start off with that. Goshi Ozaki defeating Madoka Kakuta in 1813 with the Go On Lariat. I mean, this was incredible. And the thing is, I saw some people talk about some of these matches as being a little slow to start, but I don't think that was an issue because Go just sold his fucking ass off from the bell.
Yeah.
Coming out with his taped ribs. I just loved him just getting tortured by Kakuta, getting tortured by Suzuki. And obviously, yes, they had the high impact finishing sequences, but like, I thought everything Go did in this match was just so compelling to watch.
Yeah. No, I mean, he just let like Kakuta beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is really like a thing where like Kakuta looks like insanely strong despite the fact that he lost. Because he really like dominated the like most of the match. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, he like in the end, like Go basically like managed to get off like base like one good sequence, and it was like enough to like get the win over Kakuta. But it also didn't feel like it basically felt like Go got lucky at the end, where it's like he had like that last burst of energy. And that like got him the win. But if he didn't win here, like, you know that he would have lost the match, basically.
Yeah. When is Kakuta's next Dreamgate defense?
I don't think they have one scheduled right now. I think it would actually be... The Cobra World seems so far away, but I don't think there's anybody really like lined up right now.
Do you run another Go versus Kakuta match for the Dreamgate?
Oh, Go challenging for the Dreamgate? Oh, that would fucking rule.
I don't know if they do that.
Swing. Yeah, I mean, now that he's not going for the Triple Crown, obviously, in the near future, at least. Yeah, I think that would rule. Like, I think Dragon Gate would be up for that as well. Where, like, yeah, Go got to win here, so he has, like, the right to challenge. They could probably do that at, like, yeah, I think that would be a really fucking cool idea. Like, if you either do that in Dragon Gate or All Japan, yeah, I think that would be... they should do it. They can, like, have Kakuta get his win back as well.
And then the other Champion Carnival final, semifinal, Hideki Suzuki defeated Rei Saito in 1:09 with the horizontal cradle. And I'm more convinced than ever it's got to be, like, Go have a heavy hand in the booking, because this is just a complete callback to last year when Rei squashed Suzuki. Hideki jumped Rei instantly, pretty quick after the bell, to get him in a choke sleeper, and then Rei fought out with some great slaps. Then Hideki got the choke sleeper back on. They struggled over it, and then Suzuki rolled him up. I mean, it's exactly what you needed in a great callback.
No, yeah, perfect story. No, like 10 out of 10. Like, it was only 1 minute, but it's exactly what it needed to be as well. And you also want to do the story. Like, A, it's a great callback to like last year's story, and then B, it also is like what it needs to be, where like you want Suzuki to basically go into the final fresh. You want Go to like go and like beaten to shit by Kakuta, and you want Suzuki to go in fresh.
Mm-hmm. Then next up, Havoc versus Hokuto Army. Zion, Odyssey, and Shotaro Shino defeated Hokuto Omori, Takashi, and Aizawa number one with the top rope diving headbutt from Zion on Omori. And then after the match, I don't know, Hokuto Gun might be breaking up, but Ozawa's going to challenge Kuma for the TV title. And if I get this correctly, if Aizawa wins the TV title, then Hokuto Gun won't break up.
Okay. I feel like Hokuto Gun has been breaking up for like 6 months at this point.
Yes.
Actually, more like a year. It feels like they've been in the process of breaking up since Talos left.
Yeah, I don't know. God. Isn't just Shino supposed to go? Wasn't Shino supposed to take some time off?
I was actually going to ask you the same thing.
I swear he said something about that.
I think so too. And no, he wrestled on every Carnival show in the undercard. Like, it makes no sense that he wasn't in this tournament. Mm.
And then the Yasutaka Yano re-debut match, Yuma Aoyagi defeated Yasutaka Yano in 12:24 with the Fool. I was astounded by how much, Yano got in this match.
Yeah.
Like, he kicked out of everything and then had to be taken out by a fool instead of just like a crab hold in the middle of the ring. So I don't know what that's all about. And then we had Ren, Ayabe, Taos, and Shota Kofuji defeating Jun Saito, Mr. Saito, Naruki Doi, and Senor Saito in 11:35. The Hurricane Rana from Kofuji on Senor Saito, which was a big feel-good moment because Kofuji was just a young boy once he joined the company.
And it's also been a year like since he made his debut as well.
Yeah. And then Kento Miyahara, Yuma Enzine, Ryuki Honda, and Kuma Arashi defeated Daisuke Sakamoto, Suwama Hikaru Sato, and Kengo Mishima in 16:21 with the gimlet from Enzine on Sato. This was a good match, a good 8-man tag. And Suwama and Honda brawled, which means Honda is going to challenge for the 6-man titles, but I don't know who his partners are.
Actually, what I found interesting as well was like the crowd's reaction to like Suwama and Kento being in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it almost made me think, like, are they going to run this back, like, one last time?
Well, they never really ran it saying that this would be the last time, so they could always do that.
Exactly.
And get out of it, you know.
And if Suwama is back, like, more regularly, you know, you might as well do it one last time. But you also sell it as, like, no, this is, like, you can basically sell it as, like, this is Suwama's, like, last title challenge, basically. If he loses this, he's never going to, like, go for the belt ever again.
And then Dan Tamura, Atsuki Aoyagi, and Rising Hayato defeated Musashi, Ryo Inoue, and Seki Yoshioka in 14:31 with the Firebird Splash from Aoyagi on Inoue. This was a good semi-main event. I'm glad that they got this spot instead of like the match with Anzai and Kento. And I think it set the table well for what we were going to get next.
Yeah.
And in the main event, Hideki Suzuki defeated Go Shiozaki in 24:15 with a double arm suplex hold. And Hideki surprised us all. But as you can guess, I mean, this was a great performance by both guys. Go selling like his intestines were about to fall out. Or his lungs.
He got his orbital bone or something busted open as well, right? Like, he just started bleeding from the eye.
And he bled in the first match too. In against Kakuta, I forgot to mention. But, I mean, this is just masterful. Again, I saw people say that it was a little slow to start. Yeah, well, technically, but I was just like, again, I was enthralled with Ghost getting the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. You don't have to have a quick start necessarily.
Yeah. You just have to know how to do it properly, and this man gets it. And Hideki does, too, because when he wants to, like, dismantle you, he can, right? I mean, I bit all of those double arm suplexes. I thought, oh my God, Hideki was going to win. And then when like Go kicked out of the second double arm suplex, I thought, okay, Go's going to win. But then Hideki just did the double arm suplex hold. I mean, this is one of the best matches of the year, if you ask me. I mean, that and Kakuta.
Mm-hmm.
I'd give the edge to this though.
Oh yeah. No, I thought this was the best match in all Japan at the very least so far this year. Yeah.
Yeah. Incredible performances by both men. And what do you think of this result?
Honestly,
this was so amazing. I think Go should have won, but I cannot get angry about this.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I was surprised by the result. Like, I thought literally like the entire match until the end happened that like Go is winning this for sure. And then he didn't. And you know what? Immediately afterwards, I was like, I think I'm fine with this. I think I'm fine with him not winning. I think it's good, actually. I think it's good that now there is this one thing that, like, Go Shiozaki has never managed to do, right? That there is this, like, just mark on his career that he probably will just never be able to, like, erase. Because I think Go works so well as this, like, tragic hero.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think he just needs this. And as a tragic, like, he has been a tragic hero for, like, basically, like, most of his career, right? And it's like generally he has been able to, like, you know, overcome the thing. Like, he won the Triple Crown, he won the JHC title, and all of that. But he just never won the Champion Carnival, and he probably never will. And I think it's good. I think it's good for people to not fulfill their dreams sometimes in wrestling. I think it makes for a good story.
So do you think that Goto should have never won the IWGP title?
Yeah. I think he never should have won it. I liked the reign that he eventually had. And I kind of get, I get why they did it because of the situation that they were in. But I think the story was so much better with, like, with Goto never winning. I think that is such a good story of him just never being able to overcome that thing. And, like, basically, like, because it's also, like, you can have that realization where it's, like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter that he never won that title. He still had an amazing career despite it. And so I just thought that was just a much better story with him just not being able to, like, overcome that, like, hurdle, essentially. So, like, again, I can't really say that, like, they did a good job with him as champion, but I think it just would have been better if he had just never done it.
Yeah, that's just a good point. And we'll see. I don't know. I'm not ruling it out, though, with Go. I mean, the thing is, remember, like, they eventually gave everybody things. Like, remember, Nagata got his Triple Crown. Kojima got his GHC title. So,
but, I mean, with him, it's just a thing of, like, you know, how long is his body going to be able to, like, hold up?
Yeah, exactly, right? So, also, Go has left Havoc.
Which I'm actually kind of sad about. I thought he was, like, a weird fit at first. But, like, what even is that faction now?
It's bizarre because the faction's still over.
Yeah.
They're going to move someone else in or bring someone else in to be in Havoc. I don't know. So I just didn't think it was...
maybe.
He said he enjoyed fighting Wrestling Odyssey and he wants to, like, wrestle the guys in Havoc more. I don't know.
I don't know. Like, you don't have to lie like that. That's not nice.
Yes. So let's then preview the next big show, which is exactly a month from today on June 18th at Corkin Hall. So for the All Asia Tag Team titles, finally, and I assume that they're about to come back to All Japan home. So it will be the winner of Genki Horiguchi and Yasushi Kanda versus Ishin and Yoshiki Kato on June 4th. Versus Atsuki Aoyagi and Rising Hayato. Paul, I sort of fell off the what's going on with the All Asia Tag titles after Fuji and Mochizuki won them. And then Genki and Kanda won them?
Yep.
Okay.
Genki has basically turned into the Hagame where, like, he's just beating everybody right now. For some reason, though, Dragon Gate has decided that, like, 2026 is, like, when we need to do a big Genki Horiguchi push. Like, he beat the tag champ on, like, their last show. Like, he beat Jackie Funky Kamei.
Yeah, I just read...
He's not funky anymore, but you know what I mean.
I just read Case Lowe's very scathing review of Dragon Gate in 2026, and he said that they have, like, All Asia tag title contendership matches made of any jokes. Like,
and again, like, you have, like, Jackie and Rita as, like, a really fucking good, like, Twin Gate champions, and they get, like, no title matches ever. Like, when they do get title matches, they're fucking excellent, but they, like, never get any matches. And then, instead, like, the All Asia title has now become, like, the main tag title in the promotion, seemingly, for, like,
is this some sort of, like, reasons? Weird seizure of power by the olds or something?
It feels like that. Like, it's odd. Like, I think one of the problems is that the whole, like, Yoshioka, Kikuta generation has kind of failed. And I guess maybe they're also, like, I don't know, maybe they're also, like, well, Dragon Dire just walked out. So now we're just gonna, like, reassume control with the people that we know we can rely on. But, like, that's not going to solve your problems. That's only going to make them worse.
Oh, that's just paving the way for a certain someone to come strolling back in.
Oh, yeah. I'm very certain Shima's going to be back in that promotion before the year is over.
I think Shima had a produce show that more than great did.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's not hard. Yeah.
Yeah, he's coming back to save Dragon.
I actually gave up and unsubscribed from Dragon Gate network because I was like, it's too expensive and this is just not very good.
Well, All Japan seems to have done well out of that relationship. I don't think it's going anywhere, to be completely honest with you, which is good because I think they complement each other well. So on this show at Cork and Hall in June, we also have Seigo Tachibana versus Dan Tamura, which has been built through the entire Champion Carnival undercard. And I'm really looking forward to that. They are going to try to take each other's heads off in that match, I think. Now, Hideki versus Kento has not been officially announced for this show, but I think that's what's going to happen too. So this is going to be a loaded show, Paul, because also we have another title defense on this show, a very prestigious title. The NWA World Championship is going to be defended on this show, which as of right now is the Thrillbilly, Silas Mason, who I had previously said on the show would be a good fit in All Japan. But I don't know if he's going to be champion by the time. I just don't know. He's not lost.
This is really confusing.
There are tapings NWA tapings between now and this show on the 18th of June. And his opponent is X. Paul, who do you think X is going to be? Because I think it's going to make Honda another sacrificial lamb to the NWA champion.
Satoshi Kojima.
I mean, where does he go?
Go would be interesting. It would be like continuing like the lineage of like all the Japanese guys winning the NWA title.
I would not give up Go to do a job. I would say Go has to win.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. If it's Go wins. Like, I don't think that's really like in question in that case. Yeah, Honda, I could see like him losing. Yuma Aoyagi, not Anzai, obviously. Yuma Aoyagi,
could this be
actually
punishment.
Yeah, where it's like, well, I mean, okay, it's punishment to get a big title match, but yeah, he can drop. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think the NWA is going to say no, where it's like, hey, you get to beat this former Triple Crown champion. It's like, they're going to be all over that. And actually, who's like a bit of a dark horse? Talos.
And they do the change? And
they do the change, yeah.
Yeah, that also makes sense. I never even thought of that. Yeah. I was like, it's going to be like Honda or Go or Yuma. But yeah.
Right, because then you can open up. It's like, welcome back to NWA Pounder. Here is our new NWA champion, Talos, who beat Silas Mason in the legendary Kurikan Hall in Japan.
And you don't have to get a visa for him.
Yeah.
I think they should take the Triple Crown off Kento and put the NWA World title on Kento.
Kento would be all over that. Kento would be absolutely up for that. Like, you just know, like, again, him being the Hogan mark that he is, you know?
Well, again, we don't know if this is they have a working relationship or this is just all, transactional, right? Like,
this seems bit more like a relationship than it did last time, but it was very clearly just like, hey, can you book a champion for one match? And they're like, yeah, sure.
Well, no, because Lord Crew wrestles for EC3's little NWA Exodus promotion in Ohio. And that was the link there.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, we had the Titans of Calamity, they won the Crockett Cup and everything. So, and now Silas Mason coming over, like, it does feel like there's a bit more of a relationship than there was last time.
Yeah.
Depends whether or not this continues in the future, yeah.
There's a lot of talent in the NWA that feels like they could fit in All Japan. I just know how good they really would be in a Japanese setting, though.
Yeah.
Well,
that is a bit of a question.
Quick Crockett Cup update. I watched the most recent match. I missed one of the matches, and they only put up on the Comet website the last most recent episode. So I mentioned the Titans of Calamity beating Tom Latimer and I don't know. Latimer's partner was. It was it's someone. I can't remember what their name was. But I did watch. I didn't see that. But I watched the quarterfinals, the semis. That was the Titans of Calamity versus Mike Mondo and Spencer Slade. And from what I've seen, that was definitely the best Titans of Calamity NWA match. Mondo might be a little short, but he's jacked. But Spencer Slade is doing an old school wrestler gimmick with the ear guards and the singlet and like throwing people with suplexes and using an ankle lock. and everything like that. Like, he could fight Shitaro Shino or something. But yeah, I mean, that was wrestling like an old school Southern tag. They took out Talos's legs and had him ground and isolated him. But then the Titans fought back and won with a double choke slam and everything like that. So that was fun. It was, I mean, again, it was a very quick match. And I think the finals are next week. So I will try to catch that and see how that went and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But yes, it does feel like that this is more of a working relationship than what happened last time. But I mean, yeah, I still think Kento would be the best bet to belt up later with this NWA title. And it gives him something to do. And then you could have, like, you know, Anzai with the Triple Crown or something like that, right?
Yeah. No, definitely. It's just obviously not on this show because, I mean, okay, do you think there's any chance Hideki wins and gets, like, a transitionary reign so that they don't have to do Kento versus Anzai now, right? They just put it on Hideki. He gets, like, one defense and then they put it on Anzai.
Yeah, I think, I mean, in my gut, I think Kento probably wins like 60-40. But Hideki as transitional champion is a very real possibility that I cannot rule out. I do think that Hideki will try hard in all of his defenses. Like, I have no worry about that. When he's in the main event and everything like that, he you know, incredible performance at Champion Carnival. So I have no issues with it. And it sort of makes a lot of sense because then Anzai could beat Hideki. And then you could run Anzai versus Kento at Yoyogi again. And then Anzai, I would assume, wins, right? Although Anzai's already beaten Kento, so it's not like that big of a deal. But
I mean, he beat him real early, actually, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
They ripped that bandage off real fast.
Yeah, they probably, that's weird. They probably did that too soon. Back and make it like that Kento. You know what? I think maybe Kento should have beat him in the carnival.
Yeah. He actually has some credibility for beating the next ace. Yeah,
yeah, for sure. Or like, beat him in the first. Have him beat Kento. Beat him in the first round of the Royal Road tournament or something. I don't know. I forgot to add. It looks like the Saitos are going to challenge the Titans, and that's going to happen in
Sendai.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we predicted that.
Yeah, and it's probably, I guess it's, they're going to, the Saitos are going to win that since they already unsuccessfully
challenged
as well. And I feel like, I mean, this company has had Kento lose in Fukuoka, but you don't want to lose.
Not going to have
You can't have the Saitos job too many times in Sendai.
Exactly.
And so that's All Japan. It feels, I mean, I don't know. Do you think Hideki's booking? Do you think Go's booking? I think it's one of those two.
I think it might be both.
It's also like,
I mean,
I was gonna say there's a high level of attention to detail too. I appreciate that All Japan has not always had in recent years.
I think I can definitely see some similarities between like what's happening right now and like how the like Team Noah shows were booked, right? Which Limit Break, right? Yeah, like how the Limit Break shows were booked, right? Which obviously were booked by Go. But yeah, I don't think it's just Go. I do think it's probably a committee. I don't think it's just one guy booking.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, well, I don't know how much power influence that Yuma Aoyagi has, and I suspect
anymore.
None.
Certain, not anymore.
I don't see it. Even like, you know, Hokuto Gun's hanging on by a thread.
Yeah, which was like the Yuma Aoyagi, like it wasn't the Yuma Aoyagi faction. It was the actual Yuma Aoyagi faction, which also doesn't exist anymore.
Well, they still
Do they still call them Baka no Jidai? No, didn't Baka no Jidai disband? Like, I think they disbanded it when they reformed Evolution.
Oh, right. Evolution came back. That's right. Yes. And then Yuma left or got suspended. Also, the other thing is, there's rumors going around that Fuminori Abe might be going to New Japan.
Yep.
So, I mean, you is he still the six-man champ? No, it's Yuma. Who is it? It's Suwama.
Suwama, Hideki. And Hideki, right? Hideki not. I think. Wait, who's the third one? It's Sato, Suwama, and...
Suwama, Hideki, and Dan.
Oh, it is Hideki. Okay, it is Hideki. Okay, yeah. Oh, like, okay, I'm pretty sure Hideki, yeah.
Okay.
He just doesn't come out with the belt.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't remember if Abe had them, but he did.
Yeah, you know, he did have them for a while, yeah.
But that was another guy that they use a lot of, and that probably won't be around. So,
yeah,
you know,
which sucks, but I mean, good for him for like moving up.
Oh, absolutely. But you know, keep your eyes out on some, you know, young junior talents on the indies that you can bring in to sort of fill that gap.
Yeah.
Not that that is easily done because he's obviously a very high level wrestler and everything like that. But I mean, between the big improvement in the bookings, Anzai's newfound stardom,
mm-hmm.
I think this company is definitely in a great position, especially with the number they just drew. If I had to do like your SWOT analysis, I would say the biggest problem of this company is who the president is, because he could easily derail.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's also just the biggest problem there is that there's just like an upper ceiling for All Japan without any like corporate backing, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. We said this before, like, you know, I think there was at one point there was like a big, you know, people were like, no, we don't want corporate backers coming up and buying these wrestling companies because they're going to ruin them. But I think that's sort of, Noah's not ruined because it got bought by Cyber Agent.
No, they got like, saved by that, if anything.
Yeah, and Noah's problems are internal.
Yeah, yeah, always have been. And again, this is like this is far away. Like, again, as many problems as I have with Noah right now, this is far away. Like, this isn't even their worst period under Cyber Fight. And it's far, so far away from their worst period ever. Even booking-wise, it's so far away from their worst period
ever. So corporate backing and then leaving whoever's in charge right now would probably pay off, especially since
again, look at Stardom. Like, Stardom, New Japan, right?
Well, I was going to say, I think there's opening because Noah is now seems to have peaked from its like 2025, and then New Japan seems to be one step forward, two steps back recently because it seemed like things were turning around, but then Dontaku was not so great.
Yeah.
So there really, if someone wants to come and buy up All Japan, there is an opening there and you get a bunch of young talent, even if you don't have a particularly large roster. So,
come on, Rakuten, even though you want to do it.
Yeah, or whoever. Yahoo Japan, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
7-Eleven. You know,
content, right? Lots of content.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
again, so, like, has worked out really well for like Cyber Fight.
Yeah. So we're only 1 hour and 11 minutes into the show. So I have a little something just in case. Paul, are you doing the 30 under 30 this year for Voice of Wrestling?
I am, yes. I have not finished my list, though.
Well, it's due on the 22nd, so I'm just going to give you all my list now, and you can roast me for it later. And then we'll probably talk about the list when it comes back. So we'll go from 30 to 1. Number 30, Hiroto Tsuruya. Number 29, Drilla Maloney. Number 28, Ryuki Honda. Number 27, Rising Hayato. Number 26, Titus Alexander. Number 25, Francesco Akira. Number 24, Yuto Ice. Number 23, Suzu Suzuki. Number 22, Miyu Watanabe. Number 21, Veni. Number 20, Kaido Kiyomiya. Number 19, Dan Tamura. Number 18, Seigo Tachibana. Number 17, Sara Yamaoka. Number 16, Sayaka Karara. Number 15, Tomoka Inaba. Number 14, Ozawa. Number 13, Dragon Bane. Number 12, Takeshi Masada. Number 11, Mirai. Number 10, Kosei Fujita. Number 9, Junya Matsunaga. Number 8, Kyle Fletcher. Number 7, Leon Slater. Number 6, Senka Akatsuki. Number 5, Daiki Onishima. Number 4, Kevin Knight. Number 3, Oba Femi. Number 2, Callum Newman. And Paul, can you guess who my number 1 is?
Okay. Is it Saya Kamatani?
No.
No. Okay, let me think. Oh, Zuma Anzai. Wait.
Yes.
I was like, is that someone really obvious that I missed? It's like, oh yeah, Yuma Anzai.
Yes, Yuma Anzai. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to put him on this, but after the Champion Carnival performance, I was like, he's going to go back in number.
Yeah.
Now, do I have Ozawa too high at 14? I still feel like
he's
a big prospect.
Yeah, he is a big prospect. I just think he's kind of regressed a bit this year.
Yeah.
So I think he's still going to make my list, but definitely not nearly as high as he was in like the last couple of years.
I reserve the right to make modifications, but I don't think I'm going to make any big changes, but I might bump down Ozawa to like 20 or something.
Yeah, I would probably bump Dragon Bane up a little bit. I think he's going to make my top 10.
Okay, yeah, yeah. That's a good point, yeah. So yeah, Ozawa's the only one that sort of sticks out to me. I think I would have even... I think I initially put him even higher, a little higher, and then I was like, you know, so
just hasn't been that good this year. That's the problem.
I just couldn't resist. Yeah, but it's like, well, like I do a mixture of potential and what their actual output is too.
Yeah, yeah, I know that's
very important, right?
Yeah. No, you can't just go off of like what have they done, like
yeah.
Like what they have done over the last year has to flow into it, but I think like because it is like an under 30 list, I think potential has to always like flow into it as well.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I was gonna leave him off this list anyway, but Yuma Aoyagi aged out this year.
It's kind of wild that like Seigo Tachibana is still eligible for this. It feels like he's been around since really 20 years. Yeah,
he's like 26 or 27.
I think it's just because he looks older than, like, he looks so much older than he actually is.
Ozawa's going to age out in October. This will be his last 30 under 30.
Which, yeah.
Kind of late. He was 26 when he debuted.
Yeah. He hasn't been around for that long. That's the thing. Like, it's easy to forget based on the fact, like, what he's done so far. Like, he really is still a really, like, fresh wrestler in many ways.
Yeah. It's just a shame.
Maybe why I'm a little bit more forgiving, like, of his shortcomings as well. But it's like, you know.
Yeah, there's just.
You're also at the top of the promotion, so.
Yeah, for sure. So that's my top 30 under 30 list. And we'll see what the actual list. I suspect, I mean, who do you think is going to finish number one? Fletcher, probably,
yeah.
Taking into account everyone. Number two.
Yeah, I think he's going to win. I don't think he's even going to get, like, he's probably going to get a fair amount of, like, first place votes, but I think he's going to win just off of being, like, on most people's, like, list, basically.
Kevin Knight's probably going to be, could be a two or three, I think.
Yeah.
Where do you think Callum Newman's going to finish? Because he's obviously a polarizing figure.
I think with the people that vote, I think he could very easily, I think he's going to end up at the very least in the top 10. I think he has a good shot of making the top five.
Someone who will remain nameless. I saw their list and they had Kiyomiya above Anzai. No, not these days.
No. Sorry. Like it's no, absolutely not. Not that two, three years ago, I voted him number one, but like, no.
You could make a case that Kaito probably shouldn't even be on this list, but I don't know.
I had to think about it again. I'm probably going to put him on, but it's like, talk about a guy that has just stalled out real fucking bad.
Also, Kaito, this will be Kaito's last year because he turns 30 in July, which is crazy to think about.
I mean, again, started super young, so that's why he's like still, that's why he's still on this. It's again, not as wild as like somebody Izumi. Who's still going to be on this list for another 7 years?
Yeah, Senka is only 20.
Yeah.
10 years. And probably will be on the list every year. She'll be on the list this year, even though she's a small Joshi. And they don't get. But because she's had those WrestleMania weekend matches, she'll get on the list, I think.
Yeah, no, like I think even people that don't really follow Joshi know that Senka's really good.
Yeah. Do you think Junior Matsunaga will get on the top 30, or is it going to be on a couple of ballots from a sicko?
Yeah, no, I don't think he's making the top 30. I know that, like, I think it might be a little bit distorting because, like, I think we, like, represent, like, a very, like, we probably present the vast, like, I think generally people in the VOW orbit probably represent, like, the vast majority of Zero One's foreign audience.
Yes.
But like, I think even then, I don't think he's gonna make the top 30. I would be happy if he did, but I don't think he will.
You know, it's funny because I only have one DDT guy on here, but how many like under 30 DDT guys right now are even good?
I mean, they've had.
How old is Mao?
Yeah, I mean, you have Mao. You have What's his face? The guy that just won the Universal title.
Oh, Mao is 29. Okay.
Yeah, Mao is still eligible.
Yeah, he's eligible for. Oh, he's born in 97.
We literally just talked about this in the 30 Under 30 channel.
Oh, okay. I missed that. But so that's funny. Who's the Universal? I sort of fallen off on DDT after. Kazumi Sumi. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I blanked on his name. Yeah.
After Higuchi retired, I was just like, you know, and I haven't watched any DDT since Higuchi retired. So I guess I might have to get a better sense. But I think Masada really does have that huge potential.
Yeah, Masada definitely belongs on there. I think Ueno aged out, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he aged out last year.
Okay, yeah. No, but I think Mao, I think is probably going to make my list as well.
Okay.
Like, again, yeah. Like, he's also such a weird guy where he's just, like, has such big, like, ups and downs, basically.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But, yeah, I mean, when he's on, he's fucking on. That's the thing.
Sort of the problem with some of these younger Japanese guys, they all try this weird shit now.
Yeah.
And so they have...
What I'm actually curious about is where, like, the younger, like, New Japan guys are going to land. Like, aside from, like, Callum Newman.
Yeah, I don't know. They'll get some votes. I voted for Yuto Ice. Mm-hmm. He'll get votes.
I think Kota Fujita's probably going to get a bunch of votes as well.
Yeah. Think any of the rookies, the young lions will? Daiki Nagai might.
Maybe, yeah. Daiki Nagai, I could see. Also, what's this guy? Why am I so terrible with names right now? The guy that won the Young Lion Cup.
Okay. Yeah, now I...
I was there. I literally like, oh god, I was wearing his shirt. I bought his shirt at 16 Karat. So I've seen him multiple. I saw him win the Young Lion Cup. I saw him at 16 Karat and at Ambition, and I can't think of his goddamn name right now. right. Okay, I just need to look that up real quick because it's gonna bother me because I'm okay. There's Ambition. Version 17. Oh yeah, Katsuya Murashima.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what? I think I'm gonna throw him like I think I'm gonna put like a like one of the like lower spots. I think I'm gonna throw his way.
Okay.
Because he's been really good from what I've seen, like of him live. Basically, I think he comes across really well live, and he seems to be getting a good push in like WXW as well.
All right, so that is the 30 Under 30. We'll wait and see. We'll go over the list when it actually comes out and see how it goes. But look, in these VOW lists, it's generally pretty good representation.
Yeah, because you get people voting. Like, basically, you get people from, like somebody that votes in it will have watched somebody. Like, basically, every aspect of wrestling will get covered because it's just not everybody watches everything, but enough people watch like enough stuff that you actually get like something that is broadly representative, essentially.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then with that, we'll be back in a couple of weeks once Noah and All Japan ramp things up. It might be a slow couple of weeks, though, because nothing's going on until the middle of June.
Yeah, not much. Yeah. We'll see if we can come up with something.
Yeah, see what happens. All right. So, well, we got the Noah Tag League. So until then. Yep. Enjoy all the wrestling out there. Bye.
Wrestling Omakase brings you a full course meal of all of Japanese wrestling, men's and women's. Join me, a Japanese wrestling fan for over 20 years, along with a rotating cast of equally knowledgeable co-hosts, as we cover everything from New Japan and Stardom to Noah, All Japan, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Marigold, Sendai Girls, Dragon Gate, Gleet, Ice Ribbon, and even more stuff. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling and you want coverage of the entire scene in one podcast, check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network each and every week. Get us wherever you get podcasts today.